On Tuesday's front page, police in Iran fired tear gas at protesters. The police were trying to end the biggest street protest there since the 2009 uprising. President Obama's new budget projects a $1 trillion deficit for next year. He also wants to hit the brakes when it comes to spending increases. And for shoppers, 2011 will be a year of digging deeper into wallets. Consumer prices are going up. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says riot officers in Iran beat protesters and fired tear gas to contain the biggest street protest since the end of the 2009 uprising there. This is security forces across the Mideast move to crush new unrest in the wake of the opposition victory in Egypt. Witness accounts and news reports from inside Iran suggested that 20,000 to 30,000 demonstrators defied warnings and took to the streets. Iranian leaders had tried to present the upheavals in Egypt and Tunisia as a triumph of popular support for Islam. Iranian demonstrators portrayed the Arab insurrections as a different kind of triumph. Some said it was time for Iran's supreme leader to go. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has been supreme leader since 1989. In Yemen, student protesters clashed with pro-government forces for the fourth straight day. In Bahrain, police used force against crowds of peaceful protesters. It appeared the protests there were in Shiite communities and the demands were both economic and political. Times reporter Michael Slackman explains.
The thing that's kind of remarkable about what's happening here is you have a king that is nervous because of the events that have happened in Egypt and Tunisia. So a couple days ago, he said he was going to give every Bahraini family the equivalent of something like $2,700, partly as an effort to kind of keep things calm and defuse the tensions that have existed here for a long time. Then he sends the police out in force. The police, without warning, attacked protesters all over this island today, shooting rubber bullets and tear gas at them, in many cases injuring people who had been doing nothing more than chanting slogans. Bahrain is a strategically important island in the Persian Gulf. It's the location for the United States Navy's Fifth Fleet. It is a bulwark by the United States against Iran's spreading influence in the region. And it indicates, once again, that this unrest that is being driven by young people has not stopped at the borders of Egypt.
Times reporter Michael Slackman. In Egypt, the military has excluded civilians from its new transitional government. Times correspondent David D. Kirkpatrick filed this report.
Question on the minds of many in the opposition and in Tahrir Square, the center of the revolution, is just how serious is the military that's taken over this country about steering it towards democracy? The military leaders met for the first time with a group of civilians from the opposition, a group of the young leaders of the revolution, and they laid out a very brisk timetable for a transition to democracy. They're talking about 10 days for proposing constitutional amendments, 2 months for a referendum to approve those amendments, and then 6 months for an election, for a new parliament, new president, the whole thing. And there's some debate within the opposition over, is that enough time? Is it enough time for parties to get established? Is it enough time for candidates to get their messages out? Or is it going to be a situation where somebody wins just on the basis of name recognition? And beyond that, there's a question of just how serious the military is. They don't seem inclined to meet with the Nobel Prize winning diplomat Mohamed El-Baradei, who is the chosen negotiator of the opposition. And while they're meeting with civilians, they haven't yet brought anyone from the opposition into their ranks, into the process of governing.
Times correspondent David D. Kirkpatrick. In Washington, President Obama unveiled his budget plan. It calls for putting on the brakes after 2 years of big spending increases. He wants to freeze or reduce some safety net programs for the poor. But he also wants to turn aside Republican demands for more drastic cuts to shrink the government. The budget projects a $1 trillion deficit next year, but the administration says government shortfalls will decline in the years after that. By the fall, people will probably be paying more for everything from cold cuts to washing machines as rising prices hit consumer goods. Tuesday's Times says prices for raw materials are already on the way up. Cotton prices are near their highest levels in more than a decade, and leather and polyester costs are jumping as well. Copper recently hit its highest level in about 40 years. Prices for corn, sugar, and beef are also soaring. Labor overseas is becoming more expensive. So are the utility bills to keep factories running. Police horses are a vanishing breed. With police departments short on cash, they're retiring their horses and closing their stables. Boston did away with its police horses. They were regulars at Fenway Park. And Newark and Charleston, South Carolina, have also put their horses out to pasture. Inside Tuesday's Times, a judge in the Ecuadorian Amazon ruled that oil giant Chevron is responsible for polluting parts of the jungle. Judge Nicolas Zambrano ordered Chevron to pay more than $9 billion in damages. That opened a new phase in a legal battle that's been going on for 17 years. Aid cuts have Texas schools scrambling to find cash. The state legislature is moving to slash about $4.8 billion to close a budget gap. That has school superintendents closing schools, cutting teachers, and even trademarking school mascots. A plan for the first West Coast facility for exporting coal to Asia is facing scrutiny. Documents have come out that suggest the company behind the project did not tell state regulators the full scope of its plans. The plan would transfer coal from Montana and other places to barges bound for China and other parts of Asia. Environmentalists say estimates of the pollution that would result just aren't right. And how does a flea jump that high? Tuesday's Science Times says researchers have been puzzling over that one for centuries. Scientists at Cambridge University came up with an answer after making videos of 51 fleas jumping. The video showed they push off with what passes for their feet. It's really more like a protein-powered spring. Fleas only go 3 inches when they jump, but they take off so fast they have to withstand 100 Gs, or 100 times the force of gravity. Flea expert Malcolm Burrows says people pass out at a mere 5 Gs. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts, with an S on the end, at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.